Welcome to Sipping Success, the ultimate podcast for all things beverage and alcohol. We're here to quench your thirst for insights, analysis, and a splash of entertainment. Get ready to dive into the world of beverages with us. From the latest trends to in-depth discussions with industry leaders, we've got it all covered. Whether you're a connoisseur or a curious sipper, Sipping Success is your go-to guide. Join us as we uncork knowledge, raise a glass to innovation, and help you elevate your brand to new heights. So grab your favorite drink, sit back, and let's sip success together. Tune in to Sipping Success and drink in the wisdom. Cheers. This podcast is brought to you by Mushroom Media, the go-to digital media agency for all things marketing. From crafting captivating campaigns to decoding social media sorcery, Mushroom Media is here to empower your brand and help you scale. So whether you're brewing, distilling, or concocting the next big thing, Mushroom Media has a solution for you.
All right. Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Sipping Success Podcast. I am your host, Casey Hawkinson. And we've got another exciting episode here. We're very excited to talk with Absinthia Vermouth. She is the owner of Absinthia's Bottled Spirits. And Absinthia's Bottled Spirits is a premier woman-owned establishment. They excel in crafting exquisite absinthe and premium mixers. They're recognized by Sunset Magazine as the best woman distiller. Their commitment to quality and innovation sets the standard in a competitive market. And we're excited, especially in knowing a little bit of your story, Absinthia. I'm very excited to have you share it with our guests here, or with our listeners here, you as our guest. Can you get us started with your background and how you got acclimated, how you learned about absinthe?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here. I first had absinthe way back in 1996. I had recently graduated college where I studied photography and art history. I saw this beautiful crystal bowl filled with this green liquid at a party. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I was a little scared of it. I'd heard the word absinthe before. I didn't really know what it meant. I mean, it'd been illegal for about 85 some odd years at that point. Uh-huh. And I got up my nerve and I tried it. And I, to my surprise, absolutely loved it. Started researching it, which in 96, it was a little more challenging than it is now. Mm-hmm. One of the sources that I used was my old art history books. And then I found, of course, the history of absinthe, the History in a Bottle by Barnaby Conrad, and started going through that book. My friend who'd made that bootleg batch for the party gave me his recipe, which mm-hmm. was supposedly from a family in the French countryside. So I will admit my first recipe was Everclear and some food coloring and some wormwood and anise tinctures from somewhere in the Mission in San Francisco.
Well, we all got to start somewhere, right? I think all of us, kind of our drinking experience, we all have a story of starting from somewhere, right?
Exactly. So I started making it on, it was actually April Fool's Day, 1997 was my first party that I served it with my friends. And suddenly 10 years later, absinthe was legal, which is nothing I ever expected. And that's when I realized that I'd better start a business or I was going to get into a heaps of trouble.
So during that 10-year time frame, were you becoming kind of little by little, were you becoming an expert on absinthe?
I was, absolutely. Yeah. I think there was a lot of interest in absinthe in the 1990s. And I was sort of the go-to person in the Bay Area if you wanted a bottle mm-hmm. of absinthe or what we thought was absinthe at the time. Mm-hmm. And I really worked hard during those 10 years to understand it, to figure out what the original recipes were, how to make it taste better, how to not make it out of Everclear and food coloring, mm-hmm. all of that.
And so, it can be a really great kind of social thing to do. I know people talk about like the effects of it and whatnot, but at that time of it not being legal, I kind of envision of kind of that bootleg era, right, where people kind of get together and kind of an enclosed environment and share it all and tell stories. Was that kind of the vibe in the Bay Area at that time?
It was. I have long been part of the Burning Man community. And so lots of Bay Area artists and I would get together and, you know, and drink absinthe. And we loved it. It is the drink of the artists. And it just sort of fit our Bay Area lifestyle.
Yeah. And so now fast forward to it becoming legal and you're saying, okay, now I can start a business out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, tell us how that's been. Kind of give us a background from where you started to where you're at right now.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, I have an arts degree from New York University. So I didn't really know much about starting a business, especially starting an alcohol business in the US, which is probably one of the hardest things that you can do. And it took me a few years. I ended up going back to school, getting my MBA. And writing the business plan. I wrote the business plan actually through the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center in San Francisco, which was incredible. I won Best Business Idea in my cohort. And once the business was formed, it took a few years to get everything legal and the recipe development and all of that. And sold my first case to the Absinthe restaurant in San Francisco in 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so, Tell us how it works for you right now. Are you pretty much direct to consumer, or how? I guess a lot of our listeners would be interested to know, like, kind of how your distribution works.
Yeah, a distribution of absinthe has always been a little bit challenging. I think you know, because of the three-tier system, right? I can go direct to consumer through my website. We set that up at the beginning of the pandemic, which was absolutely incredible. Still, really is. Distributors don't really understand how to sell absinthe. And so that's always been a challenge. So I am able to self-distribute here in California. I have a fantastic distributor in Louisiana and in the New York area. And I'm seeking more distribution, you know, really looking for distributors who understand absinthe and know how to sell it and can help me get into more bars, restaurants, and bottle shops.
When you mentioned like know how to sell it, that's where I get a little curious as well. So you in your position, do you feel like those that know how to sell it, like they have to really understand and kind of tell the story of absinthe? Is that kind of what you feel goes into what would lead to the success of absinthe?
I think it's that. And I think it's a big part of it is how to use it, right?
Okay.
In 2009, Wine Spectator put out a really interesting article about absinthe, which, you know, was made legal within the last couple of years of that article, saying that Americans just don't really have that flavor profile, right? We don't have fennel seeds after our meal. We don't have anise in our table water. It's a new flavor. It's a new profile for us. And the article really focused on cocktails and how Americans would come to absinthe through the cocktail. Now I'm seeing a little bit of both. I think that Americans definitely do like that louche, but they also really, you know, cocktail culture is so huge here, especially in most of our big cities. And I'm seeing more and more absinthe being used in cocktails, new cocktails. You know, of course, there's some great classic cocktails with absinthe, but getting those bartenders and the home consumers to understand how to use absinthe. And that's why I have, gosh, I probably have close to 200 cocktail recipes on my website using absinthe right now, just so that consumers getting a bottle know what to do with it.
Okay, very good. And so thanks for kind of setting the stage and kind of having, allowing us to understand the background there. I guess I'm kind of interested to know is, you know, your name, Absinthia and Absinthe. Yes. So can you shed some light on that?
I can. It's usually the first question anybody asks me, is your real name Absinthia? So that fateful night, April Fool's Day, 1997, when I served my first bootleg bottles to my friends at a party, as a joke, they started calling me Absinthia.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, I don't want to do the math. That was a long time ago.
Sure.
It's now my legal middle name. Kept my first name, don't use it, but kept it, just didn't want to make my mom too upset, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had already been called Absinthia for a couple of years when I realized that in that Barnaby Conrad book about absinthe, that at the bottom of this beautiful illustration of Wormwood, it said the original spelling of my last name, W-E-R-M-U-T-H, before the you know, the ancestors came over from Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that vermouth, which is on my birth certificate, is German for wormwood.
Mm.
So people are always asking about my last name, my first name. And I'm like, that was just a gift from my friends. The last name, though, is really the crazy story.
Yeah. Wow. And so to switch gears here for a moment. So this is kind of usually a part of the episode where we dive into the business a little bit more, talk about maybe changes you're adapting to and whatnot. And, you know, I take it that you've got a big change coming up this year. You're moving to New Orleans.
I'm so excited.
I share in that excitement for you. And so I'm really curious to know, because you mentioned just a little bit ago that you have distribution in Louisiana. You know, that's the big change that you mentioned to me earlier as you're moving to New Orleans. So maybe discuss your relationship with New Orleans, and in particular, like your product's relationship with New Orleans. And, you know, I guess why New Orleans?
I started going to New Orleans. I don't exactly remember which year it was, probably somewhere around 2015, 2016 for Tales of the Cocktail.
Okay.
And so I've been going there every year for that. And then when I picked up Wines Unlimited as my distributor a few years ago, it just changed everything. It's been so fantastic to see the way that town has embraced the absinthe. I mean, I consider them the absinthe capital of the country. You know, tourists go there because of the old Absinthe House and Pirate's Alley Cafe. People really go to New Orleans looking for absinthe. The official cocktail there is Sazerac, which of course is a cocktail that's rinsed with absinthe. And so it's been, the reception there has been better than any other market that I've sold the absinthe in. Not to mention, it's just a great town.
Mm-hmm.
I've become friends with my distributor. The last time I was there, the spirit specialist and his partner put me up at their house, lent me their car. I mean, everyone there has just been so great. So, and it kind of reminds me the vibe of moving to San Francisco in the 90s, where there's always something going on. Everybody's involved in some sort of creative endeavor, very entrepreneurial. People are really supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in the Bay Area for 30 years now. I'm looking for a change, and it's just seemed New Orleans is pulling me in.
Well, that's great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and I echo great city. I've been there a lot throughout my life. So,
you have to come visit.
Absolutely. And, you know, I haven't been since the pandemic, so I'm due for a trip. So for sure. So now, but you also have more changes coming up, right? So, or additions we'll talk about. So tell us about some new products that you have lined up.
So one product I released recently that I have been working on for literally years is my new Blue Absinthe. Now, an absinthe blanche or blue is traditionally the clear absinthe that is straight out of the still, uncolored. Very popular during the absinthe ban, because if you didn't color your absinthe green, nobody knew what it was.
Mm.
And so I already have my blanche, which is my clear absinthe. And I've been wanting to do an absinthe with butterfly pea flower. I was inspired by the blue gin, the Empress gin with the butterfly pea flower. And I thought, you know, gin and absinthe are actually very, very similar products. They're just different botanicals. And so if that works in a gin, it's bound to work in an absinthe, which is when I realized that the FDA was only allowing butterfly pea flower and alcohol products as imports and not domestic brands. And so my first email to the FDA is going back January 2021, asking them, how on earth are you helping American businesses by only allowing it at imports? And of course, it was some legal shenanigans. Somebody was suing somebody, corporate, blah, blah, blah. And eventually they finally said, okay, you can go ahead. You have to use this specific type of butterfly pea flower.
Oh, wow.
And it was the one that we wanted to use, fortunately. And so we just released this gorgeous absinthe with butterfly pea flower. It's got a very slight floral note, anisey. It's smooth. And in cocktails like Corpse Revivers that use citrus, it turns this incredible shade of purple. So it's really fun. Very pretty.
Mm. Okay. Well, that sounds exciting. So, for new fans and current fans, should we just keep up to date on your website for those new releases?
Yes, absolutely. Through the website, sign up for the email newsletter. That's a great way to stay in touch too.
Okay. And the website, just to remind everybody, it's absentia.com. So absintia.com. And you can check everything out in regards to the products, the story behind it, etc. So it's very interesting. Now, and I'm doing this a little bit non-traditional, but now is kind of the part of the part of the interview where we talk about like marketing a little bit and specific tools you might be using. So I understand that you've got a podcast. So and that's always or right now it seems to be a great tool for a lot of brands. Talk to us about our about your podcast here.
Yeah, I did a bit of a deep dive and I found a couple of old podcasts talking about absinthe, but they seem to quickly delve into movies and motorcycles and not really stay on topic. And, over the years, I find that people ask me the same questions about absinthe. Is it going to make me hallucinate? Why is it green? Is it
Okay.
legal? Is it different in the United States than in Europe? And so I thought, there's just so much lore and history and misunderstandings about this product. And so it's been really fun to get on the podcast and just find, a different aspect of it and talk about it. I've interviewed people like this woman, Laura, who opened up the Belle Epoque in the back of the old Absinthe House before the pandemic. Had a great interview with Martin, who is the bar manager at the Hotel Monteleone in New Orleans. Sharing, he's been there for decades and just hearing the stories about absinthe from his perspective has been, it was a really, really fun interview. So yeah, it's been enjoyable.
I guess with regard to the podcast and people you're interviewing, are you catching kind of a worldwide audience, or is it just most folks in the United States that you're interviewing right now?
Right now, mostly interviewing people in the US, but absolutely open to, if anyone has an interesting perspective or history about it, would love to chat with them.
Okay, great. And is the podcast accessible on your website? So
It
again,
is.
okay.
Yeah, it's
Great.
accessible pretty much everywhere. It's on Spotify
Great.
and Apple and all of those.
Okay.
It's called Green Fairy Tales.
Green Fairy Tales. Okay, wonderful. So now just curious to know, we can maybe dive even just a little bit more into your business. So we've got the story and then when you turned it into a business and kind of that woven in relationship, that kind of natural relationship that's happened between your brand and you and the city of New Orleans and Louisiana. So I guess what talk to us about like the future 2024. What are some goals that you have kind of stepping into the new year?
I am putting together a capital raise right now. So that should be ready probably within a month or so, if anyone's interested in investing in the business. Working more on getting out there with the Absinthe Blue, going to start submitting that to awards. And awards and press is really how I judge a lot of the success of the business. We've the it's the Vert, especially last year, just did so well during awards season. It was fantastic. And working on a new mixer with the butterfly pea flower, so creating another product. And part of the raise is to hire a sales director who can help me get in touch with different distributors and figure out how to get this product distributed more widely, or these products, I should say.
Okay, great. And you spoke to like how you measure success and that happening during award season. So, a lot of people, they might mention, well, we kind of judge it on customer happiness. Now you have a much different business. So, how do you kind of keep in touch with your fan base or your customers in that regard? Is it mainly through like interaction on the website or And I guess what I'm getting at, with you being kind of a part of the brand, have you developed a really good following with your customers, a good relationship in that regard?
Absolutely. And that's so important. I'm on most of the social media is doing lots of video content when I can, and just getting out. I mean, I pretty much traveled almost nonstop from mid-July at Tails until mid-December. So going to different conferences and doing tastings, you know, I know that customers will walk by an absinthe on the shelf, but opening that bottle and getting them to taste it, I find once they taste it, about 8 out of 10 people will buy it. Wow. So events are really, really important. And I love them. If I could do that every day, I'd be very happy.
Yeah. And let's maybe kind of switch gears. Are there any partnerships or collaborations that you formed that have really helped you in growing this brand that you've created?
Being a part of the Women's Cocktail Collective, which was started by Allison Evano of Square One Vodka, has been incredible. You know, like being a woman in this industry has been, it's been a little challenging. It's still a bit of a boys' club. Mm-hmm. And having an organization of other women who do what I do, which is run a small liquor brand, mm-hmm. has been phenomenal. We are very collaborative and ask each other, we have a Slack channel and ask each other for advice and contacts and have you worked with this person and who's going to that event. And the pandemic slowed it down a bit, but we've done some events together, which have been really, really powerful.
Okay, that's great. And so just as a reminder for everybody, you've been listening to the Sipping Success podcast. We are talking with our guest, Absinthia Vermouth, and she is the owner of Absinthia's Bottled Spirits, and it's a premier absinthe craft and premium mixer company. And it's been really, really interesting talking with you. Now we're kind of getting into kind of the final part of our final segment, if you will, of our show. What advice would you give to maybe your younger self or somebody looking to create and establish their own brand the way you have?
Well, first of all, I think you have to be really passionate. It's a challenging business, especially when you create something like absinthe. Like I said, when people just, you know, you have to go through distributors and they don't really quite understand it. So I eat, breathe, and sleep absinthe. And you really have to when you're doing a business like this. I would also say it's an expensive business to get off the ground and you don't know when you're going to be profitable. So one piece of advice that I always like to give people is to make sure that you have, you know, enough money to do it. Maybe you have some residual income or a passive income stream where you can keep paying the rents as you're building the business. Right. If you go in and you're expecting to start writing yourself a paycheck right away, it just might not happen that way. It may take a little bit of time. The other thing that I have really learned about, you know, being in business for all these years is that I have a mantra where I want to be someone that people really enjoy doing business with. Mm-hmm. And so I take that into all of my interactions and just, you know, try to build relationships as positively as possible so that when people are thinking about an absinthe and thinking about their experiences with my company, they're positive.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it's great advice for anyone. And so, and then our last question here for you is a bit of self-promotion here. Where can people find you? I know we've talked about the website, but you can highlight that again. But we want to know, our audience wants to know, you know, where can we find you? If somebody out there has a question, how do they directly get a hold of you, etc.? So, you know, fire away.
Oh, my goodness. So many because of social media. The email is pretty easy. Absinthia@absinthia.com. Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram at Absinthia's Bottled Spirits. We're on TikTok, Absinthia's Spirits. Facebook, The Absinthia, and LinkedIn, of course.
Okay, great. So there you have it. We've had our conversation here. Great conversation. Thank you for joining us, Absinthia. And best of luck. We'll keep track. Best of luck with your move to New Orleans. When is that coming up for you?
That is coming up. I'm going to be moving there in mid-July. I'll be there about a week before Tails. Got an Airbnb set for the month of July, and I'll be attending Tails and house hunting.
Oh, that's great. That sounds fun. So best of luck with that move. And thanks again for coming on. And
yeah, thank you, Casey. This was great.
Yeah. And you've been listening to the Sipping Success Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. And thank you for joining us all. And until next time, have a great day.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Sipping Success, brought to you by Mushroom Media. We hope our discussions have left you thirsting for more knowledge in the world of beverages and alcohol. Stay connected with us on social media for updates. And remember, the journey to success is best enjoyed one sip at a time. Keep exploring trends, connecting with leaders, and scaling your brand. Until our glasses meet again, cheers to your continued success. And may your cups always runneth over with inspiration. We'll catch you in the next episode.